Kevin Simon. Y'all know my co-host. Thumbs up, John. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. I'm doing all right.
And Wade. Y'all know Wade. Wade, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man.
So we brought back Jimmy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Thank you. I appreciate the invite. It's always good hanging out with you guys. It's awesome. I can't stay away now.
Hey, Jimmy, one of the reasons we brought you back, and, you know, his last name's Arturo, right?
Yes. Arturo, okay.
I got it close. But I can never say your damn last name right. But one of the reasons we brought him back, because some of these questions that we did in that I put on Desert Storm Veterans and Gulf War Pages about, you know, I wanted people to ask us questions, what they would, topics they would like to hear. We got such a big response from the pages. It was over 100 and something. So tonight we're going to do half of them, and then we're going to come back next week and do the other half. But here's the exciting part, okay, is that we got the experts here. And I'll put that towards Jimmy and Wade and kind of John and kind of Kevin, because we got our answers, but they do our hard research and everything. But I want to first tell y'all that if y'all did not know, we found out recently that most of the manufacturers for medicines, all medications, have been hacked. I don't know, Jimmy or Wade, if y'all know that. Me and John were talking about yesterday. But
yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, and so a lot of times, I mean, this is even outside prescriptions and stuff like that. You're paying full price because, you know, and some people can't get their medicine for 3 months. Speaking of that, welcome to Desert Storm, guys. Our era and the VA, they lost my medication. They never mailed it out. They have 3 different dates that they've been giving me that they mailed it out. Luckily, I kept all records of it. Tomorrow, not only is the VA getting an ass chewing, but so is my congressman and my senator. Because last time I went through this, I went nuts. So to let y'all know, if you are having a problem getting your medicines, y'all need to reach out, call the pharmacies, call your doctors. And let me tell you, the pharmacies can tell you, call your damn doctor. I just wanted to vent on that a little bit. But we're going to get into some questions. And one of the very first questions that I noticed on here, and which I really think these are great. A lot of them are really good questions. And one of them was kidney disease. And I mean, have any of y'all from Desert Storm, Wade, John, have y'all ever checked your, what is it, EEFGR? Have y'all ever checked that?
No, I have not.
So everybody who is listening tonight and listening in the future, one of my shipmates, I was telling her I have renal kidney disease. And I said, have you ever checked if you have renal kidney disease? And she's like, no. I said, tell me what your EEFGR is. She's at stage 3. Also. Wow. And I'm at stage 3. So if y'all would all go and look at your blood work, go in there and check your EEFGRs and see if y'all are in renal kidney disease, because her doctor didn't even tell her. And so, and that's frightening. That's frightening when your doctor, you know, and a lot of us are having kidney stones. So there's so many factors, because, you know, a lot of them say, my doctors tell me it's from the conditions out during the Gulf War is what's caused my kidney problems. And so, I mean, I can't deny it. From being out in the heat, the, you know, get dehydrated so many times and everything, that will. And so, Jason put it on here, he has foamy urine. I do too. So y'all need to check y'all's EEFGR, because a lot of y'all.
Jason was Navy as well, right?
Navy as well.
Okay.
And so, especially, I mean, I would like to compare it to y'all's being in the Army, but a lot of the Navy people, y'all need to check your EEFGRs, because a lot of doctors are not telling their patients that they're in renal kidney disease. So just to let y'all know. And then, John, what was the next one?
Well, we've talked about there's one on there. They wanted to know. Well, okay. Oh, okay. So what is the prognosis of our life span with Gulf War veterans? Wade.
I kind of like I talked to you last night, Kevin, and I'm sure Jimmy will probably jump in on this, but I take a hard line on this. I was kind of young when I went there. I'll be 55 this year. I have my own issues. We all have our own issues. So I just for shits and giggles, I looked it up. Average life expectancy in the United States for a male is 73 years old, and for a female is 79. And that's nothing to do with Gulf War illness. That's just straight life expectancy. For me personally, I do not wake up in the morning and I do not dwell on this. I try to live the best life I can every day. And by God, if I can make it another, you know, I'm 55. I think I'm doing pretty damn good. If I can make it another 20 years, you know, I made it past the goalpost. So the biggest thing is, you know, they always tell you, you know, don't let it be a mind screw, especially in basic training, man. You cannot let it get to you every single day. I mean, get out there, get off the damn computer and cell phone, get some fresh air and put this away. This is fun. When we do this, this is informational. You know, it's time for us all to get together, but give that mind a break. You know, you cannot live this every day.
I agree with that. Jimmy, you want to add something onto that?
A couple of things Wade said is right on point. In sharing with the group, what is important is that we are all individuals. We are all our own vessel. So extremely important for military, non-military, your medical history and your medical experience has to be something that you entrust with a clinical professional on the other side that can walk you through all these things, like these levels, these blood sample levels, and these considerations for life expectancy and anything else. This is a private conversation between you and your clinician, and to understand that a clinician is going to manage your concerns about life expectancy with a number of modalities, mental health, quality of life modalities. And
that's it.
Well to be expected, unless they find disease. And if they find disease, then that's a specialty care conversation if you're using a VA doctor. So again, it's that individual. We're not saying here that this is an outcome from Gulf War illness. It's just something that happens in life. Medicine happens in life. So, you know,
life happens in life.
Yes. Yes. Approach it with your eyes wide open. And then the latter part of your recommendation, Wade, is I love the idea of just get out, move, get going. You know, just dwelling on these things is not going to help the individual, but don't go it alone. I mean, we do have clinical people. We have one another, you know, even if it's this group of folks right here on this call, we have one another. But remember, the first principle is always just seek first to understand, then to be understood. A real famous guy named Stephen Covey said that.
I like that. Well, you know, and also this right here, your cell phones. If you're on it 24/7, you're watching, you know, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, any of the news stations out there, that's depressing enough. That kills you short term too, because it's going to stress you out. Stress is the number one killer of most people. It can cause heart disease, all kinds of problems. And so now, with that being said, also smoking, drinking, you know, dipping, you know, like you said, quality of life is how, you know, don't be 70 wishing in your 50s that you would have taken good care of your body. That's how I look at it. Think now for the future. I mean, it's no different than your finances. Do you want to be broke when you're 70 or do you want to have a retirement? That's the best way of looking at it.
You know, that's Kevin,
and real quick. I like my cups, guys. I love them. Everybody's commenting. Look at the size of that cup. All right, what were you going to say, Wade?
Oh, yeah. So you brought that up. I just said, you know, when I was walking out of that hospital there a couple years back, and that doctor told me, either you quit drinking, your ass is going to be dead in 6 months. You know, that had nothing to do with Gulf War illness. But like she said, I don't like to put numbers on it. She said, you could walk out of here and get hit by a bus today.
Right, that's you know, true. That, for, I mean, that's a good you point.
Know, for, I love personal that. Accountability, man. That's all it's what you know, comes back down to.
And if y'all, if everybody's making fun of my cup, man. So, I mean, if y'all are having a hard time, if y'all are depressed, y'all are stressed, hell, give us a call. We're here for y'all. I mean, y'all all know I give out my phone number. I have no problem talking to anybody, non-vet or vet or anything like that. All right, John, what's the next question?
Well, this will be kind of a short one. Well, I shouldn't say short. They wanted to, somebody asked why we as Gulf War veterans have so multiple issues with our bodies.
Nobody knows.
That's a pretty loaded question. The bottom line is we were exposed to a lot of different things in the Gulf. As Wade just, you know, Wade and Jimmy said, you just got to take care of yourself. We don't, if we knew the answer, we'd definitely share it. Taking care of your body. And some people might want to argue the point, well, I exercise, I eat and drink right, you know, and I know we have fellow veterans that take great care of themselves, but still suffer issues. A lot of it can be mental. So there is no quick answer to that question.
Well, actually there is. There's, I think, 5 points. Sarin gas, mustard gas, PTABs, anthrax shots, and the conditions that were out there. Oil rigs, burn pits. Yeah, so, I mean, them too, but you make a great point on that. I mean, you make a really good point. It's also how you take care of yourself. Because me and Jimmy were talking earlier, and Jimmy, I want you to kind of explain this because you had a great point when you were talking about how the chemicals, you know, may have gone out, but what it messed with our cells, you know, long term. So go over that a little bit for me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Kevin. One of the avenues that are being pursued by a number of Gulf War illness researchers is differentiating between inflammation in the body, all inflammation, and then dysfunction, specifically mitochondrial dysfunction. And they were balancing between the two, you know, is inflammation just exist because of Gulf War illness and our environmental exposures, or is it a result of the exposure exacerbates the cells, specifically the mitochondria? Mitochondria is a fancy name for batteries in a cell. It creates the energy that we run on. And it's hypothesized that this process, this energy transfer process, may be interrupted with a fight or flight or injury because of the, again, the multitude of exposures, many things that we were exposed to in the theater. That exposure may have created what's called oxidative stress, and oxidative stress then may exacerbate the chronic fatigue syndrome. And there we have that mad thing of what's called chronic multi-symptom illnesses. And it's interesting, John, I like how you laid up that multi-disease, because just in name alone, Gulf War illness is explained as chronic multi-symptom illnesses. This is what makes the condition so elusive, because when you walk into a standard patient-aligned care team, nurses, doctors, or some I know refer to that doctor as PCP or primary care physician, man, we walk in, we're fired up. We've got all of these things that we have complaints about. Complaining about my executive functions, post-exertional malaise, my stomach, bloating, gas, diarrhea, full body pain. You know, most clinicians, not most, I'll retract that. Some clinicians, maybe younger, maybe not as experienced, maybe one that's not experienced in environmental exposure, may say, they won't say, a doctor has too much ego to say, I don't know. But they should be saying, I don't know. Yeah, they should be saying, I don't know. They should be saying, this is really tough. Imagine your head. Imagine that clinician. Wow, I can't diagnose that. You're a freaking loser. You can't diagnose that. But the truth is, it's undiagnosed. That then is part and parcel of walking the pathway to specialty care. See, that specialty care doctor, they know what that sounds like. That young physician or that primary care doctor going, ah, man, this thing's kicking my ass. I don't know what's going on with this guy. And then that specialty care goes, well, tell me a little bit about you. Because, you know, they're not reading your VA medical health records, your CPRS. They're not reading that. They don't have time. We got 15 minutes with you. Tell me a little bit about you. Hi, my name is Jimmy Orocho. Yes, I'm a veteran of 1990-1991 Desert Shield Desert Storm. Usually that clinician, that specialty care doctor, is going to stop you right there. They're going to find, the center of gravity. Maybe neurology, maybe it's that chronic fatigue. They get to pick, and you start there. You may go to pulmonary, you may go sleep studies, but it's time to start doing higher specialty care level diagnosis in order to work down through there.
And that's
the outcome, you know, we know because of just the history, 33 years worth of history. We can't wash away in the past. We've got a lot of clinical and research evidence sitting on the front of the chair right now. Sitting on the front of the chair. 2 days ago, the Centers for Disease Control did an ICD discussion. The ICD is moving forward. The ICD process is moving forward. That's a code for Gulf War illness in its entirety. That's working through the system. Is it late? Hell yeah, it's late. Am I pissed about that? Not pissed, but I'm let down. How about that?
Yeah, well, I'm going to give some kudos to Christy for that. Because Christy has really been working hard on that. And I'm so proud of her. I don't know if she's listening, but maybe she'll hear that. Yeah, she's probably on. But I know Christy has been really working hard on it. She's been making a lot of calls. I mean, she is kicking some ass. And so, but that also leads into my next one.
Okay.
The next question that we had, and to me it's an important one because I have two different answers. How much money have we spent on researching for Gulf War illness? The first one was $215 million. The second one was $420 million. And I'm going to say this from my standpoint. This is how I feel about it. I believe in research. I think we need research. There is some stuff coming out good that Wade's going to talk a little bit about is what he's going through now, and he's liking it. But the research that I have done has not done anything for me. I can't do the research that Wade's doing because I have renal kidney disease. And I can't do the one at Nova because I have renal kidney disease. And so y'all are going to have to be the ones that go in and do it for us until we find out how it affects our kidneys. But this is how I feel about it. Everybody here, until my doctor looks at me and says, Kevin, I know what happened to you during the Gulf War, I have a hard time about researching. Because researchers are finding all kinds of stuff, but the VA don't know anything about it. You go to your doctor and you ask them, what do you know about Desert Storm vets? And the you know, well, we don't know anything. I mean, it's true. I mean, until, you know, I know, you know, Nova's doing a great job. Dr. Glum's doing a great job. And, you know, wait, help me with it. Ross Camp is doing a great job.
Yeah,
and I know they're all doing good jobs, but until our doctors know, and I should not have to educate my doctor. My doctor should be damn near educated. 33 years later, that's how I feel. And that's how I feel about every politician in Congress and the Senate, presidency, all of them. It took y'all 30 years to even come out and say Gulf War illness. If you don't believe me, go watch the movie, The Gulf War. We had people working behind the scenes trying to get Gulf War illness out there and trying to get stuff done. But it's just now really coming to light. That's how I look at it. Why does it take 30-something years? Wade, but tell them what you're doing at Ross Camp, because I mean, it's fantastic news.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing their later. They needed one body to finish up their study. I was available. I could do it. So I went ahead and jumped on. Like as far as disheartening about research, kind of like what you were saying, Kevin. So I was just down there a couple weeks ago. And you, on this research, and that's how normal research goes, you either get the real deal or you get a placebo. I could definitely tell, and I've done enough of these that I could definitely tell that the last pills I had were a placebo. I can tell that this time I'm getting the real deal. I feel like I'm getting a positive effect. But so I had a little time. I asked a few questions. I always ask questions, probably annoyingly. But I said, so what happens if your study comes back and it didn't meet what you were looking to get? One, is a paper going to be written? And two, nobody's ever going to hear about the study because it flopped. It didn't get what you were looking to do. Or two, it's a complete success, but one, this nutritional product that you're offering is one, not available to the general public. And two, how many years is it going to take to get it into the VA system?
Right.
So either way you look at it, it's a FUBAR. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was kind of just discerning to me. They're doing the best they can. There's a couple other ones. I'm not a big one on the placebo. And that's because of just starting with Dr. Nicholson. You know, he sent me the product, try it for 6 months. You tell me, fill out the forms along the way, and you tell me how it works. I like it. I get that's not, they don't legit, that's not legitimized research. One thing I did want to throw out there, though, and Jimmy may or may not be aware of this, but I just thought it was an interesting fact. Sure. Dr. Nicholson did make me aware of a paper that he wrote back in 2014. So what are we looking at? 10 years ago, he wrote this paper.
You're freezing up on us, Wade.
In a great exact, but back in 2014. Yeah. Oh
yeah. You're freezing up on us. Yeah. Yeah. Nope, so in 2014, when he wrote this paper, and it's just now getting out there.
No, it was just published in 2014. Okay. But he had mentioned quite a few of these nutritional supplements that we are now just now getting around to researching, which I find very interesting.
Well, see,
so he was ahead of the ball game 10 years ago, and we're researching the nutritional supplements that he had recommended in his paper. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm following his lead personally. I will follow everybody else and I will test with everybody else. But as far as I'm concerned, he's a pioneer.
Right. But he was blacklisted. That's how, he was on the show.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. No, yeah, totally.
And right. And so.
I just thought that was interesting when I read that paper, that the things that he had mentioned in his research paper, the substances, the nutritional substances, are what we are now researching literally today.
And this is why I don't call it Gulf War illness. I don't call it Gulf War syndrome. That's why I call it Gulf War side effect. Because right now, until they tell me exactly what caused it, what's done with, it's a side effect. Until they tell me, yes, you definitely have Gulf War illness, because if my doctor doesn't tell me, I'm going to call it a side effect. That's just how I feel about it. And before I get on my rant, John, go to the next question. Before I get mad.
This will be a bit of a brief conversation. People want to know a little bit about why care in the community isn't the same across the country. And maybe we can talk a little bit about care in the community. I'll start off. Care in the community simply means that either the availability specialty isn't close by where you live. I know there's a distance involved and they've changed it depending on the state you live in. Might be, let's say, I don't know, it's 60 miles or so long. If care in the community is something that has to be requested to your provider, say, I would like to go here because I can't get into the VA in a sufficient amount of time, or it's not available in this location. So you have to request it. And depending on if you're at 100%, there's no out-of-pocket expense. Otherwise, I'm not sure the amount one might have to spend. But care in the community is my personal choice because I live in rural Iowa.
Yeah, that's it right there. Because you live in a rural area, right? Most likely.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, I do. So go ahead. Anybody want
to add on? No, I'll add on to that because with us, in my area, you have to wait if it's more than 30 days. Then you can request it. Your provider approves it. Because mine has approved some, but not all. And so I can understand you living in a rural area and you're 2 hours away from your nearest hospital. I mean, it don't make sense to drive 2 hours, you know?
Right.
They'll save money to send you there instead of travel pay and everything. But I do know if you're approved for, even if you're at 70%, but so let's say my kidneys are covered under the VA and I'm only at 70%. I ask for community care for that specialist. They cover it because that's a disability under the VA. And that I do know because I had to go there one time and that's how I learned it, learned about it. And so next question, John.
Let me jump on the back of John's comment.
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
So it's interesting when you say I have to ask for it or I asked for it. That's interesting. A patient aligned care team, that's what's at the healthcare system and at some VA community-based outpatient clinic, CBOX. The clinicians use community care as an extension of their services. A patient doctor should, in his extension, he should be saying, Kevin, it's been 3 months. At the end of 6 months, I need you to see us a specialist, and I'm going to send you. You're going to get a call from a manager, a coordination manager. We're going to solidify where you're going, when you're going to be there, what time, and that appointment's going to happen by the numbers. Even to the point, like, let's say that there's a doctor you normally see at your hospital, but let's say the doctor got sick or he quit or opened or left some issue. That same community care facility should kick in, and I mean by facilities, people that are responsible for that. Even if it's the primary nurse or the head nurse, she should then jump in and go, oh, doctor's not there to see Kevin. He's got a 6-month appointment. I'm going to start this process and stay ahead of it.
Yeah.
That's ideal. That's ideal.
I like
that. That's ideal. Yes, sir. That's ideal. And that's a very low expectation for a veteran. Very low expectation. Mm-hmm. That should happen like clockwork. However, you know, I've heard medicines aren't getting to the door and stuff needs a nudge. Don't forget to exercise that secure message. That secure message. My meds, even though, yes, you're going to call because that's an emergency. You've got to do something important. I was expecting to go out to that mailbox and there be a bag with my medication. It's not there. When you get back home from that mailbox, call. This is a priority call because these are your meds.
I called and they left me on hold for 2.5 hours. I stayed on hold.
Smokes.
I got the call log. I even camera. No, and they're use my off. Secure message. But you're right. Secure message is important.
It is. And if anything, it could be like a root cause analysis. So when we go back to beat them up, that root cause analysis is going to discover, you know, I waited 2 hours. What's going on? Maybe somebody's stealing it. Maybe the guy out in the truck delivering is stealing it. Maybe there's a freaking black hole at the back of the pharmacy. I don't know, but it needs to be properly, you know, properly reported. I mean, crazier shit happens out there.
I'll tell you the other thing you do. Call your advocate. Because when after a hold for 2.5 hours, pissed, man. I called my advocate. I chewed her ass. And I said, you get down to neurology and you tell that doctor I'm on a phone call. Immediately, I got a message right back. I didn't get a phone call because she probably said I wouldn't call him because this guy's pissed. And I'm telling you, I can get pretty pissed. I'm telling you. And it's not so much that I want to be mad, but what happened to me last time, I had to call the crisis hotline. I want to commit suicide. I ain't going through that again. So I stay on top of my shit now. And I'm telling you, if I don't get that message by tomorrow morning, Everybody's going to hear my voice from 250 miles away. You're going to hear me scream. I promise you.
Remember, not all VAs are the same. Veterans Integrated Service Networks are differentiated. There are in your Veteran Integrated Service Network, it behooves you, find out which number you're in, and then usually there's a headquarters, kind of military hierarchy. You know, there's a division headquarters or brigade headquarters, but there's a senior city with a senior Veteran Integrated Service Network and their network of people, their clinicians. There's nothing wrong with cutting across the field and popping them in a message, because that's how they understand downstream in that network there's a problem, especially with these rural challenges. Christy Mogan has educated me. She's educated me on the effects of living rural. And
to it, what is this? To jump in real quick on Jimmy's, and Jimmy and Christy would also suggest those that are listening, perhaps that don't understand what secure messaging is, because I certainly didn't when I started. I had no idea.
Thank you.
You go onto a website, it's called My Healthy Vet. You have to log on to that on the computer, and you have to use that. That's what we're talking about, is securing message. You have to go in there and go on and compose a message to your provider, and then it's in print. So that's what we're talking about when we say secure messaging. It's through the computer, through a very specific web page called My Healthy Vet. Do I have that correct, gentlemen? My Healthy Vet.
And it comes right up. It comes as soon as you log in. It comes messaging, pharmacy, blue button, all that stuff. Because on mine, I tell you what I did. The first message I sent was nice. The second message I sent was, okay, nice. The third message I sent was not very nice. The fourth message I sent, oh, hell no. It went from a very nice to oh, hell no. Because you're your own advocate, really.
Yes.
You are your own advocate.
You got it's something in or about 3 business days to get a response back from whomever you're trying to communicate with. They're allotted there's a time frame. I'm going to say 3 business days. Although I haven't as of today, I also may use the advocacy line, because I'm having some issues with trying to get a medication for myself.
That's a good idea.
And I might go that route. In the past, I wasn't so successful, but back then I didn't really understand what I was doing. I was doing a lot of bitching, but wasn't getting any traction because I wasn't using the secure messaging.
No, not you. No, not John. Our cuddly little teddy bear.
Yeah, I'm cuddling until you piss me off. Yeah.
And now you're explaining My Healthy Vet.
See, I mean, everything comes together, man. Everything comes together. You don't do one thing without the other. That's exactly how this networking with veterans work. John, what's the next question? Oh, no. Go
John,
for it, baby.
One last thing, and I know you guys are on the Zoom mode, but when you're doing community care, remember, that means that you're actually seeing a civilian clinician. Always make it a point to ask that specialty or that community care physician, do you send your results, your chart, back to CPRS or your VA medical records? Yes, maybe, I don't know. A lot of these associations are electronic medical records. But if not, release the record. Go to their administrative of that community hospital. Release those records. Get a copy. Go back to the VA and release them back into your VA medical records. Because down the road, when you're in compensation and pay and you're putting an application, you may have been diligent out there driving 50 miles away to see this community doctor. But if their notes are not incorporated in your VA healthcare records, there could be a big gap. And all that evidence may be postponed,
That's true. Also release your information to that doctor about the problem that you're having in community care. That's I did that with sleep apnea, and it was amazing how she figured it out really quick. And you know, I love my doctors. I cannot stand my pharmacy. That's my problem. My doctors are great. I love my VA healthcare to me is awesome. My pharmacy sucks. So I want that to be said because I do. I mean, hey, most of my doctors listen to this show. And I hope my neurologist says, hey, get my medicine to me, please. Please. Okay.
Well, let's be kind to Veteran Health Administration. But what vision are you in? Do you know?
What
vision? Veteran Integrated Service Network. It has a number tied to it. I'm in Vision 8.
I have no idea.
What the heck are you talking about?
Yeah. No idea.
Yeah. Just explain it to me.
Yeah, do tell, Jimmy. Now you open up this can of worms.
What the heck, Jimmy? You've been holding out on me for how many podcasts?
Oh, yeah. You know, we go very granular. But yeah, it's what the VA does is they group what are known as Veteran Integrated Service Networks. And that's a group of healthcare systems, so hospitals, usually in your state, but they may straddle state lines, and then a group of CBOCs, community-based outpatient clinics. And that together is called a Veteran Integrated Service Network. I'll send you a hyperlink so you could find yours. And one good reason I've discovered in knowing what Veteran Integrated Service Network you're in is when you go to mitigate help like this, medicine delivery problems, community care challenges. It's truly the chain of command inside your, say, state.
Well, that's
most of them are state related. Oh. Yeah.
Well,
this is, and there's super one that's the headquarters.
Well, snap.
Oh, look at this. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, snap. Right. There you go, right there. And so, you know, my mom got on my case because my language used to get real bad. So she starts saying, oh, snap. So that's my new thing. Snap. So if I say snap, it really means, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Okay. So now
I'll get you that. I'll get you a link.
Gulf War babies. I saw a lot of them on there. They want to know about, you know, how did they transfer to Gulf War babies? How did this happen? I can tell y'all that John, Wade, and myself, our girls seem to be having the biggest problems. And I mean, I remember when my daughter went in and they were running every test under the book and they couldn't find anything. I said, I'm telling you, they're not going to find anything. You got Gulf War illness. And that's when my daughter started learning, like, oh crap, what is Gulf War illness? And Gulf War side effects, sorry, because we passed that crap on to our kids. And I mean, it could have been from, I mean, bringing your clothes home. It could have, a lot of it could have been from, you know, armored cars and all that coming back from Desert Storm that weren't properly cleaned or, a lot of stuff. It also could be from your semen. It could be from anything. I don't really think they know how it got passed genetically, but it's no different than the Vietnam era guys that passed down problems to their kids. And you know, they found that there could have been some similarities there. But I do believe they are doing some studies or some, they're really starting to look at the Gulf War babies. And I know their Gulf War babies page is really, really hitting it hard on trying to get how come our kids are affected and we want to know why and what can we do. And that's important. John? Yeah. You want to add on to that?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, yes. There's a lot of unknowns. I mean, my daughter has had. She was conceived immediately following the Gulf War. She's had problems ever since she was an infant. She had stomach problems from day one. But to be honest, it wasn't until the last couple of years, while we've been doing this podcast, we kind of probably put two and two together because we never thought about it. Just like I didn't understand what was going on with my own body. You kind of learn after you talk to other people. That's what we're doing here. We just learned something from Jimmy. I had no freaking idea.
Yeah, Jimmy. Thanks, Jimmy.
And so, I mean, it's like anything. It takes basic communication and like, oh, what the hell? Why? Now, back to what Wade and we were talking about, taking care of our own, our self-care. You know, I tell my daughter, and she's fully aware, you have to do your level best to take care of your person. In other words, it's kind of like you go out and buy something, you get what you pay for. Well, the same thing happens. You get what you put in your body. If you're just going to put a bunch of garbage into your body because you're so, you know, you don't want to take the time or whatever to put the proper food into your system, you're going to have more issues because it's garbage you're putting into your body. If you go on spend $10 on a pipe wrench as opposed to spending $50 on a quality, when the freaking thing's going to break on you when you're really trying to, you know, get something done.
But I understand that. But it seems like a lot of these Gold 4 kids are having a lot more issues than what we are. Some of them are.
Yeah.
If you go in and you see with what, you know, when they're kids, we're the ones feeding them. We're the ones taking care of them. Mm-hmm. We had no idea that they were going to be affected. And I mean, because I know me and Wade, our daughters have the exact same thing. It's the damnedest thing. Exact same thing. And uncontrolled bleeding, POTS, kids have EDS, autism.
And Army and the Navy, so there's no,
Yes. But Jimmy, have you heard anything on about the Gulf War babies and stuff that maybe can come down the pipeline soon on this?
Yeah, thank you. So a couple things, and I'm going to do a little bit of first principles kind of connection to, okay, where's the root here? Because if first things first, when you're talking about multi-generational, that's the label that the Veterans Administration uses, multi-generational, which there is a dotted line to spouses. So there's been some spouses that have come in with saying, you know, I'm starting to get some of these effects. But multi-generational, as it applies to our children born after our return, talking like this is awesome because we need to collect our thoughts, feelings, and ideas. We need to logically lay down how we experienced with our children. When was the first onset? What was it that you experienced? And what we need to do as a group, and that's the entire cohort. When I refer to Gulf War veterans, I'm thinking of 700,000 deployed.
Right.
Not just the 150 to 250 that return with chronic multi-symptom illnesses that the Institute of Medicine put their finger on, but I'm talking all 700,000 of us. And the reason is one of the things that Kevin said, remember, there's controls. If you're not getting any effect, I know you're not participating in research, Kevin, because you have exclusionary criteria with your kidneys. But there's a lot can be learned from a veteran that deployed and came back as not ill. Remember, there's almost two-thirds came back with no problems. They're just older. They didn't come back with chronic multi-symptom illnesses. But to answer that question better, we have an institution that is there for us. It's called the RAC. Research Advisory Committee for Gulf War Veteran Illness. Actually, Christy just shared with me this evening that there's one coming up. I'll get you that date and I'll get you the...
Yes, please.
That is the venue for us because remember, the owner of the RAC, the Research Advisory Committee for Gulf War Veteran Illness, is Dennis McDonough. If you don't know who he is, he's the Secretary of the Veterans Administration. He's it. He needs to know. He needs to know that we are having this recurring issues with our children. And what I believe is going to happen is we're going to be called upon, but we have to really, really drill down. When did it occur? What is it that we're seeing? And not so much the group thing, because we could get in trouble. We could get in trouble because remember, those children are their own vessels as well. And they must be diagnosed
right,
head to toe in their own vessels. And then lastly, remember the privacy. These are children. They're going to become adults. They're going to be kicking our ass. I know mine are. My kids are going to be kicking my ass for a lot of shit. So I educate them, but I have to protect their privacy. You know, there's ethics, there's HIPAA, there's privacy involved. So, what we want to do as parents is we want to control that. Like if I go to the VA, I'm going to opt in and I'm going to release information And I need that stuff to stay tight. In the ethics world, children are very, very specially managed. And it's, again, because their children can't say what's going to be in their future. Remember, they're going to have kids. They may get married. They have their whole lives. So their clinical trajectory should not be public information. Okay. So we're just going to, as professionals, we have multi-generational concerns as they apply to my children that needs to be brought up. Every one of us and everybody on this call should be at that RAC meeting. One coming up in April soon, or first week. And this is one of the topics. When you guys have something to say, we will call. They're called Veteran Information Sessions. And we get to speak up about what it is that's near and dear to my heart.
I totally agree with that. And I think at the next RAC meeting, we all need to call in and say, hey, you know, this is what's going on with our kids. Let's start pounding it. I mean, we already pounded what's going on with us. Let's pound it for our kids. So let's start helping. We're about to go into that show. But listen, next week, we're going to be right back here answering the rest of the questions. If I didn't answer, talk about your question, I will be on next week, and we will bring it up. But if you do have questions, please go into my messenger. Send me some messages about what you would like, you know, for us to talk about. Also, it's not too late. Please give us your questions because this is important. This is what this podcast is about. If you want to come on the show, please send me a message. I would love for you to come on and everything. So, right now, we're going to go to our show, but y'all, please go to our YouTube page. You know, we take this episode down, you know, right after it's done. But go to the YouTube page, like and share, subscribe. We're trying to build it up. And email me at kevinsimon@gulfwarsideeffects.com. And, I mean, Jimmy, thank you again. You'll be here next week. Wade, thank you. You'll be here next week. John, you'll be here every week. Thank you. And for everybody who is typing into the section, y'all keep typing. And thank y'all so much for being on tonight. I mean, this was an awesome show, and next week's going to be just as good. Thank you. We'll see you next week.